Book 6, Chapter 1, 7200 West Boulevard Drive, Alexandria, Virginia, 0630 hours, 4 September 2005. Castillo's cell phone buzzed, and on the second buzz, he rolled over in bed, grabbed it, rolled back onto his back, put the phone to his ear, and said,
"You son of a bitch."
"Good morning, Colonel." Castillo recognized the voice as that of his Secret Service driver.
"It may be for you," Castillo said, "but I have just been licked on the mouth by a half-ton dog.
I tried to put my head in your door to wake you, but Max made it pretty clear he didn't think that was a good idea."
"I'll be right down," Castillo said, and sat up.
Max was sitting on the floor beside the double bed. Castillo put his hand on the bed to push himself out of the bed. The blanket was warm. He looked and saw that the pillow on the other side was depressed.
"God damn it, Max. You're a nice doggy, but you don't get to sleep with me."
Max said, "Ruff." Castillo pulled open the door to the front passenger seat of the Denali. Max brushed him aside and leapt effortlessly onto the seat.
"Tell him to get in the back, Dick," Castillo said.
Major Dick Miller gave Lieutenant Colonel Castillo the finger and bowed Castillo into the second seat. There was a muted buzz, and the red LED on the telephone base mounted on the back of the driver's seat began to flash. Castillo looked at it. The legend DNI Montvale moved across the screen. Castillo picked up the handset.
"Good morning, Mr. Ambassador."
"Where are you, Charlie?"
"We just pulled into a Waffle House for our breakfast."
"Are you open to a suggestion?"
"Yes, sir, of course.
Vis-a-vis the briefing this morning, if I sent Truman Ellsworth representing me, and he announced that you were representing Secretary Hall, I think fewer questions would be raised."
Truman C. Ellsworth was executive assistant to Montvale. He had worked for Montvale in a dozen different positions in government over the years. Montvale had tried to send him to work as liaison officer between the Office of the Director of National Intelligence and the Office of Organizational Analysis. Recognizing this as an attempt to plant a spy in his operation, Castillo had declined the offer and had to threaten that he would appeal it to the president to keep Ellsworth out of OOA. For this and other reasons, as Ellsworth seemed to be personally offended that the OOA did not come under Montvale's authority, Castillo knew he was not one of Ellsworth's favorite people. His first reaction was suspicion.
What's the bastard up to here?
But what Montvale was suggesting made sense. The less conspicuous he was, the better.
"That makes sense, Mr. Ambassador," Castillo said.
"I think so," Montvale said, and the connection was broken.
They all ordered country ham and eggs for breakfast. When Castillo was finished with his, he collected the ham scraps and silver dollar-sized bone and put them onto a napkin. "For the beast?" the Secret Service driver asked, and when Castillo nodded, added his to the napkin, and then Miller added his. The napkin now was full to the point of falling apart. In the Denali, Max sniffed the offering. He then delicately picked up one of the pieces of bone. There was a brief crunching sound, and then he picked up another, crunched that, and then picked up the third.
"I wonder," the Secret Service man asked softly, "how many pounds of pressure per square inch that took?
Try not to think what he would have done to your arm had you tried to disturb my sleep," Castillo said.